Amen, amen. So we're already having a good time of worship. Amen. I'm glad that you all are out here this evening and you are going to be blessed. It's my privilege to be able to introduce to you the gentleman that's going to come and share with us the Word of God. Pastor Steve, the first time I ever met him was when I was in college and I was a college student on a weekend retreat called an Experiencing God retreat, and he was the guest speaker. And man, just God just stirred in my heart as he was speaking. And so that was my first connection with him. And he has been someone that's kind of been a mentor to me, someone that I've always been able to talk with or to get advice and even just kind of an encouragement as a father in the faith. I went there. Of a man that is centered on the gospel and stay centered on the gospel. And lives that out in his life. So would you all welcome Pastor Steve Ayers.
Thank you, guys. Love you, brother. You know, I've been getting that a lot lately now. At one time, I was a young radical innovating the church, and now I'm a mentor, which is a politically correct way of saying the old goat. You know what I mean? So I want us to pray right off the bat. I want us to pray because I want to tell you, first of all, I am more than excited to see every one of you. And I am so thankful for what Living Water Church is doing in Montgomery County. And I was here. I was here 8 years ago. And y'all were just kind of getting things rolling, starting out. And, you know, I teased Grant. I said, Grant, you're the only man I know that was an innovative man and built a country church to put an innovative church inside of it. He goes, what do you think is going to happen? I said, you're not staying in that building because God's got something to do in your life. And I respect your pastor because he believes Jesus died on the cross. He knows he's risen from the grave and he knows he'll change anybody's life. And you know what? I'm looking in your all's eyes and guess what I see? Yeah, there's a lot of believers in this house. And some of you are yet to believe. And guess what? I want you to consider what Jesus might do in your life tonight. Okay? And I hang out with people that don't believe more than I hang out with people that believe. Because that's my assignment. That's not every pastor's assignment, but that's my assignment. Okay? I was with a group of pastors, and they were cracking me up. That we were doing some teaching on evangelism. And they were like, well, Rev, what you don't understand, you're just so good with sinners. Why is that? I said, I was an excellent sinner. And I said, I've always been a leader in whatever I've done. And at one time I was leading people toward hell and God absolutely changed my life. And so guess what? I believe that every one of us that has Jesus Christ in us, we have a bit of heaven in us. How many of y'all believe that? If you got Jesus in you, you got heaven in you. Now you men ought to take advantage of that. You wake up in the morning with your wife. You need to kind of wake her up and say, honey, you married a little bit of heaven. You know, I don't know what she's going to say to that. It's usually not good, but, you know. We're going to have a lot of fun this week, but more than that, we're going to encounter Jesus in a big way. Now, I'm going to give you the mission right off the bat. I'm on a mission. I'm here for a reason. You all are what I call an awakening church. There's not many of you in America. Okay, we're in great need of people that will share the gospel. Okay, we're down on folks that will share the gospel. So here's what I love about your church. I'm not going to encourage you to be a hip church or a cool church or a church that only welcomes young people or a church. I just, Pastor Grant, I'm so done with all that stuff. I'm not even going to get into it because I don't say nice things when I go down that road. I want you to be a faithful church that wants to see anybody come to know Jesus Christ. Can you hang on that one? All right. So let me tell you a little bit about where I'm coming from. I've been doing church centered on Jesus for over 25 years. I pastor a church that speaks 15 different languages. That's because I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we don't have to go anywhere to do foreign missions because they import them to us on a constant basis. We have a refugee center there. So I said, okay, Lord, this is pretty cool. We don't have to spend the money on missions. It's right here in front of us. We speak three different African languages in the congregation. We speak in tongues at Hillview. We speak Spanish. We speak Korean. We have people from all over the world. If you were to look at our congregation, we're a bag of mixed nuts. We're people, we got all colors and making new ones as I speak, okay? So, here's the thing. Here's what I believe. If you're a person with a pulse, you're worthy for the gospel. Can you live with that? If you're a person, you need Jesus. How many of y'all are cool with that? So if you don't mind, before I pray, I want you to look at somebody close to you and go, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a founding member of Living Water Church. I have a response to you. Whoop-a-dee-doo. You may say, my daddy was president of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. Who cares? You may say, I'm a Baptist. I said, that'll get you a quick trip to hell. If that's all you got, you've lived hell and are going to hell. I mean, that's horrible. I'm talking about a Jesus that's risen from the grave. How many of y'all know a Jesus is risen from a grave? How many of y'all know a Jesus that will heal the craziest person in here? That's probably me, so it works. And so I want you to know, no matter where you are tonight, Jesus wants to speak to you, okay? I'm not going to be long tonight, but I want to be tight tonight, and I want to be effective tonight, because first of all, I want to thank you all for coming on a Sunday night, because you're not used to that. Thank God. Amen. But tonight, we're here for these 4 days, 4 nights, to revive the church, and we're on a mission. I talked to Pastor John. Do y'all know Pastor John? He's your associate pastor. And if you don't know him, you need to get to know him, because he's a really cool guy. Now, he estimates, and I've already heard about his estimation abilities. He estimates that there are about 20,000 people in Montgomery County that are still not going and connected to church. Now, I'm not saying they all need to come here. I got a plan. Let's be so, watch this. Not only do I lead and work with a ton of other leaders through the power of the Holy Spirit that our church might grow, I have grown every other church in the community as well. Because we send people out of our church constantly. We really do. We say, you know what? You're better suited over here right now. They need you over here for this right now. We got to start seeing the kingdom of God. It's not about our box. It's about his church. Everybody understand that? So that's going to be one of the adjustments we begin to make. It's not about our box. It's about the kingdom of God in Montgomery County. Okay? So you got 20,000 people. How long do you think that's going to take? That'll take up your lifetime. You got it. I'm in Bowling Green. It's a little bit bigger place. We have 93,000 unchurched people in Bowling Green, Kentucky, Grant. Out of that 93,000, we got 54 Southern Baptist churches. We've spent millions of dollars this year, and we've seen 1,073 baptisms. Well, no, that's not amen. We need to see about 3,000 or 4,000 to make a difference. You see what I'm saying? So listen, I'm going to give you the truth. We got to pick it up a notch everywhere. And before I pray, here's my game plan. Can you imagine what would happen in the state of Kentucky if every local church that believes Jesus died on the cross, has risen from the grave, would do what it's supposed to do? Or at least Kentucky. And I don't know about y'all, I'm more worried about Kentucky than I am the world. Because we live here. I want you to get as intense about the gospel. Now listen, I'm talking to Kentuckians. How many of you are UK football fans? Okay, now right there shows me you have faith. Watch this. My daughter is Miss UK. She's in the medical school at UK now. She was Miss UK. She's big blue. We bleed red. We're the rest of the family. We're saved, so we're hilltoppers. And no, she loves the Lord, but she loves UK. She said, Dad, if the church could become like UK's football fans, we'd have something going on. She goes, win or lose, that stadium's full. Win or lose, they're about the hope that they might beat Florida. That's called faith. Have you noticed that? Hey, those fans are so crazy, they had me believing they were going to beat Florida. And I'm a football coach. I actually know how to gauge the game. But guess what? Faith to reach this county will change this world. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you focus on what is in front of you, you will reach the world. If you focus on what is in front of you, you will reach the world. I'm going to show you something I've done for 25 years. Not one time in our church in 25 years have I ever mentioned missions. Because there's no such a concept in the Bible. Denominational organized religion made that up because they got to raise money. There's the mission. The mission. That every soul on the face of the earth shall hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you engage it in front of you, it will travel all over the world. We focused on what's in front of us. We have a church in Costa Rica. We've been to Brazil. We're in the Ukraine. We're in South America. We're in Mexico. We're all over the world. But it started because we stay focused on what's in front of us. And we didn't have to go get missionaries because God sent them. We have a young man. He's now on our staff. He's one of our pastors. He's from the Ukraine. We're starting an orphanage in the Ukraine because of his heartbeat. And he's very qualified to go to the Ukraine. You know why? We don't have to send him to language school. He grew up there. So he speaks, I guess they speak Ukrainian. He speaks that. He speaks Russian. And we have a Russian church. And when you go up there, it sounds like a Pentecostal church to me. I do know what they're singing because they sing the same songs we do, so I know what it sounds like musically. I don't know any of the words they're saying. When they preach, I just know it's about Jesus. I know this. I've watched people who have served Islam come to Christ inside that church. You see what I'm saying? It starts in front of you. Now I'm going to pray. Pastor Grant, what would happen in this church? John, you got your little number tablet out? This is actual number. If each person starting in January was challenged during this revival to reach one person with the gospel, one person in this year, how many baptisms is that next year?
750.
I like your estimation better. Okay, that's actual number. Now, John number, what would that be? Yeah.
About 500.
No, 900. 900. Let's go with 750. Yeah, his normal count, 900. Okay, but we got to have an actual person. Watch this. This is required. You have to have an actual person share the gospel with an actual person for it to work. Does that make sense? And so, listen to what I just said. This church, with all that God's given it, look at all the cool stuff you got. Why did God give you all this cool stuff? And please don't tell me so that you can be cool because I'm going to throw a water bottle at you if you tell me that. Because God is so unimpressed with our coolness. God never looks down and goes, oh man, those screens, they are out of this world. I am so amazed. I mean, we're talking about a guy that can turn water into wine. So what do we have that would impress him? What do you think? Come on, I like it that you all talk. Y'all kind of like our congregation. Y'all talk back. I got so tired of sitting stare church, didn't you? He's talking head and everybody going. Then every once in a while, some old man would wake up and go, amen. He didn't know what you're saying. You know, you could have been saying, old men are horrible. Amen. You know, it just you say anything, nobody listening. All right, let's pray and let's get on it, all right? Lord, we want to pray right now that you begin to burn in our heart one person in this new year that we would connect the gospel with, Jesus with. And Lord, I thank you for Living Water Church. I thank you for Grant, who loves Jesus. I thank you for his wife. I thank you for this staff. I thank you for these praise and worship leaders that have just sung to you, God, with their heart open. Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is in this place and the potential is beyond anybody's belief. So God, wake us up to your reality in the next 4 days, that what you might do would be always immeasurably more than what we can do. And may we focus on who you are. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome. 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 Guess what I'm going to talk about tonight? Welcome. Because guess what we don't do? Welcome. Now, you all have done it some, but I'm even going to challenge you. I challenge our church all day. Who have you welcomed lately to the gospel? Now, Living Water, I'm going to give you a little heads up. It'd be real easy at this point to get impressed with what God has done. Heads up. Because before, y'all was just in a little old country church. In fact, it was uncomfortable. In fact, it really irritated me. I've told Grant that several times. I don't hold back what I say. Now, some of you miss it because you were the hero of the place. By the way, if you really want to see this church do what God wants it to do, there are no heroes in here except Jesus. Cool deal? No heroes. Tell somebody, I'm not a hero. Go ahead and tell them. But listen, Pastor Grant's wonderful. He's doing what God wants him to do. If you all think he's amazing, just ask his wife. She'll tell you totally different. My wife does it very graciously. You know, somebody comes and said, well, Pastor Steve did. She'll go, honey, let me help you with something. I live with Pastor Steve. Only Jesus can help that dude. I've known him since he's 14. That's cool. She was doing a woman's conference one time, and it was so funny. This lady came up, and she was a precious young lady. You know how, you're a real spiritual kind of lady. And she goes, she looked at my wife, and she goes, oh, what is it like to live with Pastor? She looked at her, and she said, nothing like you think it is. That was her response. Because guess what? We're all humans struggling with grace. Amen? So I want to let you know there's not a perfect guy talking to you tonight. A forgiving guy's talking to you tonight. A grace-filled communicator's talking to you tonight. That's all I am. So I want to give you the message that'll change your life. First of all, I want to challenge you. Who have you welcomed to the gospel lately? Now notice I didn't ask you, who have you welcomed into your house? Who have you had some meals with? Who have you gone to McDonald's with? Who have you given a high five at the ballpark with? Who have you seen at the football game? No, I've asked you, who have you welcomed to the gospel lately? And I'm going to ask you to get somebody on your mind. How many of y'all know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Raise your hand if you know somebody. Okay, y'all are cool. That's very rare. Most of the churches I go to are frozen chosen. And I ask them, I say, how many of y'all know a lost person? And they go, I mean, they're offended. I attend church and I stay with my church people. My children go to a Christian school. They listen to Christian radio. They drive in a Christian car. They sleep in a Christian bed. We eat Christian food. Now, I'm kind of looking at them, but I'm questioning the Christian food. I always, when they say that, I go, so you eat kosher? They don't even know what that is. But that'd be okay. That's Jewish, so it's not Christian. I stay in my holy bubble. You know what I say? I am so glad Jesus doesn't act like us. Because you know what Jesus did? He left heaven and came to earth. If I was Jesus, I'd have stayed in heaven. What's going on in earth? You know what I'd do? You know what I'd do? I think I'd stayed in heaven. How many of y'all would stayed in heaven instead of coming to earth? I mean, you got angels up there playing music that never miss a note. You got voices that are incredible. They dance in heaven. Baptists won't, but the rest of us will. I can't wait to go to heaven, but I want some other people to go with me. I can't wait to go to heaven. I want to be sitting right by my mother when God opens a bottle of wine. I'm going to look at her and say, what are you going to say now? Now, my mama's a spiritual woman. She's deeply spiritual. I mean, she scares me. She prays so fervently, she scares me. I'm standing here today and not in jail because of my mother's prayers. And I owe her a lot and because she shared Jesus all of her life. So she told me the other day, I like to gig her about that all the time. And she goes, well, I tell you what, if Jesus hands me a glass of wine, I'll drink it. However, I ain't seen Jesus at the liquor store. I love my mama. She always got an answer. I want to get us to Jesus. Now listen, I'm going to talk about real things. If you're real churchy, I'm going to offend you. So let's just get that over with, okay? You need to be offended. And I want you to know who really offends you most is Jesus. Because he won't act like you. It's amazing. I've actually read the Bible. You ought to read it sometime. It's a really neat book. The only people that were irritated by Jesus are the people that were religious. It was the people that were religious that want to kill him. They still do. Sinners, guess what they did? Say what? You'll do what? In fact, Jesus amazed people when he did simple things like this. Jesus would sit down and eat with sinners. Oh, it'd drive people crazy. One of the accusations was is that Jesus hung around with the wrong kind of people. How many of y'all are glad to know that we worship a Jesus that has come to tell sinners they can be saints? That's what he does. That's the message. You don't have to stay dead. Anybody excited about it, you don't have to stay dead. Well, let me show you what happened. And real quick, welcome. Jesus is one big welcome, okay? First of all, I want to commend your church. As soon as I walked in here, y'all did something really cool. You did that. You spoke. Yeah. I walked in, I saw a guy, he was standing there. Now, he's on a cell phone, he couldn't speak, he's occupied. It's probably his wife telling him what to do. I understand that. I don't interrupt my conversation. Give me your name, sir. Again, I'm sorry, Bill? Bill met me. He said, man, I remember you. I've been watching you on TV. That always scares me. I go, you had any adverse effects from those sermons? He said, no, they've been all right. I said, good. He showed me around. You know how cool that is? He didn't know who I was. I mean, I'm a flatlander headed toward the mountains. He said, I can look at this guy's calf and see he's not from Eastern Kentucky. You know what? But guess what? I'm going to welcome you as a brother of Christ. We just had a conversation. Then he looked at me and he goes, you're the guy that's going to be speaking, aren't you? I said, I hope so. Hope I don't have the wrong church because I like your alls. I love your alls. You see what I'm saying? You all have welcomed people. I love your crowd here. You got some tattoos in the crowd. Good deal. In fact, they were in our church. They sent a guy over from one of the normal churches to our church to find a guy with a tattoo. And he came in and he went back to his church. He goes, did you find a guy? He goes, which one? Because we love people where they are. We really do. We don't care what you've been into. We care who's going to get into you. You see the difference of that? It's not what you've been into. It's who's going to get into you. Because we've all been into different stuff. Amen? Amen. We've all been into stuff that hurts us and kills us. And we all need Jesus. Now I want to show you a story. Some of you may be aware of this story. But let's go to Luke 19. Because we got a huge welcome from Jesus here. And Jesus meets a guy on the road, a wealthy guy, real rich guy, a jerk. Any of y'all ever been a jerk? How many of y'all have ever been a jerk? Anybody been a jerk in here before? Okay. Half the congregation's honest, Grant. That's good. He entered Jericho when he was passing through. Jesus did this a lot. And in fact, I encourage you in Luke 19, chapter verse 1, to create this ministry, pass-through ministry. Now, this doesn't take a lot of organization. Just wherever you are, make sure somebody's hearing Jesus around you. One of the craziest things that'll happen is people will talk to you about Jesus if you just follow him. They really will. My wife are in other parts of the country, and we're just hanging out, and we like to have a good time, and she kind of throws people off because she's like a real good-looking pastor's wife, like y'all's pastor's wife, and people are kind of amazed that we're Christians because they have an image that Christians are supposed to be frumpy and no fun and not energy and very humbled. And this is the image of the church to the world. Praise Jesus. And we look mad and angry all the time. Most people don't even guess that I'm a pastor. I'm having a good time. My wife and I were rolling that. We went to one of them sandals resorts. You know what I mean? I've been trying to improve our marriage, and so I figured after 28 years, she was due a honeymoon. Hey, I'm slow. You know, I'm a little slow as a husband. So we go to this sandals thing. It's all inclusive. It's pretty cool. We meet all these young adults. They just got married. And so, you know, people didn't know who we are, so we're just sitting by the pool. And she goes, I know that mind of yours is going 100 miles an hour. I said, yeah. I said, they don't know what I do, so I can just learn what's going on. And I don't have any trouble talking to people. So they all start talking to us, and they asked me, they said, is this your girlfriend? I said, it was. And so my wife's really a good-looking wife, and I'm really an ugly mug. And they go, is this your second wife? I said, no, same one I started with. And then they said, are you all on your honeymoon? I said, yeah, but it's a little different than your honeymoon. I said, when did you get married? And they said, Saturday. I said, I got married on a Saturday too, but it's 28 years ago. Finally got around to a honeymoon. Eventually, those kids, they just started laughing. I mean, we were laughing at 3 o'clock. You know, we're old, so we don't, you know. I've been on all kinds of boats, riding around in a sailboat. That takes effort. I'd rather just sit beside the pool. And so I'm sitting beside the pool, and they would all just start coming in. It was like pool time with Steve and Elizabeth. I'm like, I'm off the clock, Lord. I love meeting these kids, but I was amazed at the kids I was taking surveys. Did you realize there were 100 couples there? We met 100 couples there, and every one of them had lived together before they got married. Okay, but hold on. They're not believers. They're not believers. That's what I'm waking you up to. Most people don't believe in Jesus. So they don't have our morals. They don't have our thoughts. They don't have our worldview. They don't have what we do. And the reason they don't have it is because we never talk to them. We're so busy talking to ourselves, guys, that the world's not hearing the greatest message ever given. And so I want to wake you up. Let's start talking to people, even though they don't think like us, look like us, or do life like us. What do you think? That's a big challenge. I'll tell you who did it. Jesus did. Let me tell you, he's passing through Jericho. He talked to anybody. I want you to know that people are looking to hear from Jesus. They would look at me and they go, man, there's something with you guys. What's in you all? And it wasn't a margarita. I said, you know what y'all are picking up on? I said, we have a Christ-conscious vibe. See, that sounds much cooler than just being saved, doesn't it? See, I'm going to use their language to show them Jesus. They go, cool. What do you mean? I said, well, both my wife and I have been forgiven of our sins, so we live in a different way. I said, we get to live in freedom. And they're like going, really? They go, what do you do? I said, I'm a spiritual consultant. Now, Grant, why do I tell them that?
He's a pastor.
If I say I'm a pastor, then the guys are worried about their wives. They think I'm going to get their money. Now, this is a true story. This lady came to our church, and she wondered why my wife didn't have big hair. Because the only Christian woman she had seen was on TBN. No, when people come in drunk late at night, they surf the channels. Can you imagine being drunk and seeing TBN at the same time? You're talking about messing you up with Jesus. I'm telling you real stories. See, you don't want to hear them because this is where a lot of people live every stinking day.
Amen.
But yet I came to a church tonight that sang on the great reality of the gospel that the Lord has overcome and grace is it and he conquers. That Jesus is walking through the streets of Jericho and behold, there was a man there named Zacchaeus and he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Not only was he rich, he was a political crook. Aren't you glad we've advanced in our society today? And we don't have people that would run for office for their personal gain. Aren't you glad in the state of Kentucky we've never had people running for governor who made $300,000 a year in a regular job and for some reason wanted to take a $65,000 job and call it an advancement? Has that ever puzzled y'all?
And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, I want you to hear this. Zacchaeus had heard about this guy named Jesus. He had heard about this rabbi that was teaching different things. He heard about this Jesus that was healing people and working miracles. And he wanted to see who he was. Now, it didn't say he wanted to get saved, Grant. He just wanted to what? Just wanted to see him. Hey, church. The world just wants to see who he is. And guess what our job is? Show them. And leave it at that. I will tell you this. We can't save anybody. But we can show them who Jesus is. Does that make sense? See, we need to blame stuff on Jesus. Grant, how did you get a wife like that? Let me help you. Jesus. You didn't do it. What are you laughing about, John? Look at your wife. Where do you think that came from? Look at your daughters. That's not your DNA. Hold on. No, hold on. I'm telling you, now you're getting it. How many of y'all got a great life in here? Bill, you got a great life. Where'd that come from? Absolutely. People ask me all the time, man, how can you be like this? I said, Jesus. I told the rabbi that was connected to Nancy Pelosi that. Imagine that. He and I are definitely on two political extremes. We had to be at this meeting at 6:30 in the morning. I came in, I'm like, he goes, are you like this all the time? My wife looked at him and she goes, it's this or asleep. He goes, how do you live with that? She said, I'm saved. She said, it'd be hard for me to be Jewish. I need the full thing. Holy Spirit, all of it. Both testaments. Hold on. It sounds humorous, but what's she doing? What's she doing? She's letting Jesus leak out. See, that's what I want you guys to do, man. Just let Jesus leak out. But I want you to let him leak out in weird places. Like places you go with a couple friends. Say, Pastor Steve, do you know what they do? Yeah. But let Jesus leak out. Do you know Jesus is stronger than sin? Jesus is stronger than what? Sin. And Jesus will hang out with sinners. Now note this. Pastor Grant, thank you for doing a good job. You couldn't have this church if y'all hadn't been welcoming people to Jesus. Amen? But all I want to say tonight, more and more. Just a little more. You can never welcome enough. Amen? And so here's just a heads up warning. I know you got to organize everything. I got one of these churches. It's crazy, isn't it? I'm just trying to keep y'all out of some crazy stuff. In about our 10th year mark, we had more ministries than you could shake a stick at. So guess what we did? We canceled 75% of them and saw Jesus move more. Because we didn't have ministries. We had people doing stuff. And sometimes people can be doing stuff and miss what Jesus is actually doing. That's just the warning, okay? Pastors, that's for us too. How many of y'all have been so busy studying you missed it? Me too. So we got this crowd following Jesus. By the way, the crowd's following who? But they don't understand who he is. Because this is what happened. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not. That's an interesting line to this story, isn't it? Maybe we've missed that line of the story because we've been so concentrated on the height of a rich man. They couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. Hold on. Let me tell you what's happened here with Living Water. People come here because they can see who? They do, brother. When they see you, they go, big old tall guy that could whip me that loves Jesus. I like that. Huh? Listen, I praise God that he saved you, man. You know why? Because I sat in church and I hated church when I was a kid. I had to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Why do you have to go back on Wednesday? If the guy was any good, he could get it done on Sunday morning. I mean, you'd have to go back and get your hair cut 3 times a week, but you had to go see God 3 times a week. I hated church. I was an outside linebacker. I was intense. I was aggressive. I had visions. I had an entrepreneur spirit. And all the men in church were politically correct and scared of their wives and scared of everybody in church. And they were gently sickening. And they accomplished little and called that godly. I didn't want to be around God. If that's his guys, then I'm at the devil's guys. They were aggressive and visionary. And some of them seemed to love people more than the church people. Now, they were all lying. So thank God that you're here. Because there's probably some knuckleheaded teenager like I was, and he needs to meet you. He needs to meet a guy that can go, boy, I tell you what, I love Jesus. And that's the only reason I ain't taking you out right now. That's a convincing witness. I mean, you men know it's a manly thing to fall in love, madly in love with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a manly thing to stand up for Jesus Christ. I got to reading the Bible, and guess who was in there? Wild men. Men that got caught in storms. You ought to read the Bible. The men in there are crazy. Samson, crazy. King David, that dude wrestled bears and lions. That's a dude who'll whip you. I mean, they didn't have game station back then. So David's with his buddies, and he's walking around. What y'all want to do today? Let's go wrestle that lion over there. That's a bad boy. I mean, I've never had the thought, y'all see that bear over there? Let's go wrestle that thing, see who's going to win. If I hear that there's a bear in the woods, I'm in my truck getting out of there. Because I know what bears do. They eat preachers. Out of there. So here's this Jesus guy. He's walking down the street. We got the crowd. They're pushing Zacchaeus away. They are convinced that Jesus doesn't want to hear from a guy like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wants to see who? I wonder how many people in Montgomery County want to see Jesus, and we hadn't showed him yet. Sometimes we get so busy telling people what they need, we never hear what they need. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. The people that are supposed experts on evangelism never hang out with lost people. They hang out with seminary people. And seminary people only hang out with seminary people. They don't even talk the language of the rest of the world. I mean, have you ever heard anybody at a ball game go, hallelujah? Have you? I mean, if I wasn't a Christian, y'all would confuse me so bad I wouldn't know what to do, because y'all don't speak words. You speak metaphors. Bumper stickers that you got at the bookstore. Jesus, watch. I'm going to show you how Jesus spoke. So you know what Zacchaeus did? He wanted to see Jesus bad. So he ran ahead of the crowd, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. That's pretty cool, isn't it? A rich guy climbing a tree. He's wanting to see Jesus pretty bad, isn't he? Because most rich guys would have their assistants climb the tree and get Jesus for them. Something about Jesus makes people want to see if it works. Something about what? Jesus. Something about Jesus. Where's the world really cringe up in battle? It's who? Jesus. I was getting ready to do one of those community public prayers that pastors have to do sometimes, Grant. And this little squirrely guy came up to me and he goes, now, Pastor Harris, we're really glad that you're going to pray, but you can't use the name of Jesus. I said, well, then I ain't praying. He said, you're a respected member of this community. I said, I could care less about being a respected member of this community. I could just as easily have been the biggest criminal in this community. I said, I pray in the name of Jesus. He said, well, your name's on the brochure. I can't cancel it right now. I said, well, the event's taking place in 5 minutes. So here's what you got to decide. Are you going to live with a man that's going to pray in the name of Jesus? He said, you might take some heat. I said, bring it on.
Amen.
I got to pray in the name of Jesus, and I was never invited again to another public event. I'm not worried about that. God didn't call me the public. He called me the people. See, here's the problem is, would y'all tell me why I ever cowers to the world? We just cower. I don't cower. I tell my atheist friends, that's great. I always tell my atheist friends this. I said, why are you all ticked off on about something that doesn't exist? And I said, for the life of me, I do not understand why those plastic baby Jesus scare y'all so bad. I said, there's no power in the plastic baby Jesus. It's not going to jump out of the manger and save you at Christmas. It's just a plastic baby Jesus. See, if it doesn't have any power, then why is it so offensive? Because it does. It represents he who's risen. Guess what you and I represent? He who's risen. Zacchaeus gets up in this tree. Guess what Jesus does? He's just passing by. Now watch what Jesus does. You ready for this? Thou thouest now hast recognized the sovereign nature of salvation according to your soul, and I asketh now that you will draw forth and find the glory that I have to offer. Jesus just does really neat things like this. And when he came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must go to your house today. That Jesus, so plain spoken. He didn't say, sinner, where art thou? He just said, why don't you get out of the tree and we'll go to your house. True? See, that's what I'm trying to wake y'all up to. Just invite people to hear about Jesus and put it in your own words. Now, I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble here. Is this being recorded? Like I care. We have wasted money on training people to do evangelism. I'm going to prove my point. How many grandparents I got in here? Wow. And I'm not going to ask y'all to do this because I don't want to hear it. If I asked you about your grandchildren, what would you do? Now, used to, you pulled out your wallet and dropped 150 pictures. Now, even grandparents are smartphone users. Let me show you this Snapchat that they just sent me. I mean, parents, because they're grandparents, have become technologically involved. In fact, my daughter called me, and I'm just not a real techie kind of guy. My daughter called me, and she goes, hey, Dad, do you think it's a little bad that my 85-year-old grandfather knows how to Skype me and my father does not? I said, no, I don't want to talk to you. He does. She goes, you always got an answer, Dad. I said, you do too. But you see what I'm saying? If I ask you about your grandchildren, what would you do? Who trained you to do that? What class did you go to? What seminar did you have to go to? What notebook did you have to memorize? Just tell them about Jesus. Sometimes it's this. Can we go to McDonald's and talk about it? Hey, sit down here. I'll buy you a Coke. You're at the ball game. Let's get a hot dog and talk about this. This could be your life. And just simply tell them what happened to yours. And then walk away. See, I blow people away. I tell them about Jesus, and they go, well, are you going to ask me to do something? I said, none of my business from here on out. And they said, "You a pastor? Do you want me to come to your church?" I said, "Not really." It fries them. I'm not here to collect people for the church. I'm here to show people who. How many of y'all trust that if Jesus sees them and Jesus saves them, they'll be all right? Just show them Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question before you get all hyped. Are you all as showing as many people Jesus as you possibly can as a church? What do you think? Bill says not in his book. All right, Bill, I expect you to be in the baptistry with people. Good. Watch this. I just show them who. That's all you got to do. I promise you, if you show 100 people Jesus, a couple of hits will be there. But here's what we do. We get on one hard-headed guy and stay with him all the time. Yeah, it doesn't work. Jesus didn't do that. Rich young ruler told him what he needed to do. Rich young ruler said, "I'm not going to do it." Jesus said, "Good luck." Jesus was Jewish. I was standing there at the wall of Jerusalem. It was so funny. I got so tickled how this Jewish guy did evangelism. He was Hasidim, you know. He had the locks on him. He comes up to me and he goes, "English?" I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "American?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Christian?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Good luck." Walked off. Hey, at least he's what? See what I'm saying? We need to show people who Jesus is. Look what Jesus did. He just said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. And so I'm about done. We need to learn how to go to the house with people. I don't know what Zacchaeus had at his house. Jesus didn't care. It didn't matter what was in Zacchaeus' house because guess who entered it? Jesus. And it doesn't matter what's in your house when Jesus enters it because guess what? It's going to be different when he leaves. Let me show you what happened. Well, Zacchaeus, he didn't go to church, so he didn't know how to have an argument with Jesus. He just hurried down and came down. Look at Zacchaeus' response. "So we hurried and came down and received him joyfully." See, he's not religious. He's a tax collector. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Who's they? Christians. Y'all ever seen Grant hanging out with some real sinners? Other than John. No, I mean, you guys are real, you know. I get this all the time. Like, I still got a few holy people left. God leads them in there just for holy irritation. And well, I'm not sure our pastor should be up there with all that stuff going on at the lake. So I went and saw Miss Holier Than Thou. I said, "You know what's really interesting? You have run your mouth constantly. And nobody gets saved. But I baptized a lot of my buddies at the lake. Now, are they perfect? No. But they're saved. Are y'all perfect? How many of y'all saved? How many of y'all are getting better every day? How many of y'all going to be perfect one day? Hey, there we go. And guess when that's going to happen? When we all get to what? So, Grant, if you're looking for the perfect church, you got to die to pastor that one, baby. But guess what? As we go along, let's let Jesus take the lead. Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. It's amazing. Sits down, has dinner with him. You know what? If you have dinner with somebody, what does that tell them? Well, come on, just work with me here. Okay, guys, you want to meet this girl. This is only for guys that are not married. What do? Ask them out on a date. We're in Kentucky. Where do you go on a date in Kentucky? Where? Hey, McDonald's works for me. I've been off McDonald's. I can't have McDonald's anymore. The doctor said I was going to die of a heart attack and I can't go to McDonald's. Told my wife, "I'll tell you one thing, if I die of a heart attack, when I get to heaven, I'm eating 2 acres of Big Macs. And I'm going to be real ticked at you from this cardboard food you've had." Hey, if y'all don't want to die of a heart attack, I know the secret. eat cardboard boxes because all the food tastes like cardboard. So he hurried down and he came down and received him joyfully. And they saw it and they grumbled and they said, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. I want you to hear this. Jesus loved him enough to have dinner with him. He said, Zacchaeus, not only are you a person, you're a person I'll have dinner with. I don't know about you, but I only have dinner with people I like. That's the way I do it. I mean, I've never told my wife, hey, why don't you call that couple up that just irritates the bedeesies out of me, and let's go take them out to dinner. I stay away from negative people on my free time. Now, when I'm a pastor, I got to. I'm forced to by the calling. But on my free, when God gives me my time, I don't hang out with negative people. Because negative people, they just like vampires. They just suck the life out of you. And you got to keep a little life. Pastors, don't hang out with negative people all the time. The church provides enough. Don't get any on the side. Yeah. Zacchaeus was probably a negative guy. Rich guy. He's a crook. He's a con artist. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a thief. He's a politician. That's what he is. Let me tell you how bad he is. Zacchaeus is selling out his own people to the Roman government. I'm glad we don't have any politicians like that. Sell our nation out to like governments that are corrupt. Y'all better wake up. We're in a day and it's going to twist so fast and it's going to turn so rapidly and God's church is going to be standing there in the wind if we don't wake up and share this gospel. So guess what I'm here to do this week? Wake up and welcome to Jesus. All right, we got to wrap it up. You know what Zacchaeus did? He got saved. You know why he got saved? He wanted to see who Jesus was, and Jesus showed Zacchaeus who he was, a sinner in need of Jesus. I don't know what he said. I wish I did. They don't have that in the text. All that happened was this. Zacchaeus stood up and he stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. I think that's better than the sinner's prayer. Not only do I accept, I receive grace in such a way that it's going to reconstruct my life from being a crook to being a blesser. Look at what happened to Zacchaeus. He went from being an exploiter of poor people to a provider to poor people. He went from being one who cheated the scales to one who paid back with interest. You know what you call that? Salvation. You know why he got saved? Because Jesus came to his house. You know what Jesus said? Today salvation has come to this house. And when Jesus says salvation's come to this house, what's come to the house, Pastor Grant? Because when Jesus says it's saved, it's what? Saved. It don't matter who's grumbling. Because Jesus said it was what? It's pretty easy. And salvation's come to this house since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man. Any of y'all ever wondered the purpose of Jesus? And there was a great series out. It took 40 days to find the purpose. I'm going to do it in 4 seconds. And cost you nothing. For the Son of Man, that'd be Jesus, came, sole purpose, to seek and save the lost. Now, we need to feed poor people, and we need to clothe the naked, and we need to welcome the prisoner, and we need to welcome the stranger, and we need to go pray healing over the sick. But all that is so the lost can be saved. Young people, you better watch out. There is a lie that has leaked from hell into our philosophy. And we got all these people running around, and their default mechanism is feed the poor. Now, this has been going on since the 60s. We could care less about poor people in America. In fact, not only have we not blessed them, we have increased them. You see, politicians want people to be poor. You know why? Poor people are controllable. Blessed people are uncontrollable. You know why people come at Christians? We're uncontrollable. The truly faithful is uncontrollable. Why do you think Hitler took out the Jews and the Christians? They're uncontrollable. Muslims, no problem. They're controllable. They'll follow a dictator. Christians follow a Savior. And that Savior sets you free. Christians do crazy things like feed poor people and pay back what they've cheated with interest. Pretty neat, isn't it? So guess what? We've covered a lot tonight, haven't we? Are y'all wore out? I am. Y'all wore me out. That's a blessing. Pastor Grant, John, other members of the staff, leadership team, and the most precious part of this church, the followers of Jesus that make it happen. Thank you all for what you've done. But you know what I'm looking forward to? Is hearing about and seeing what God is going to do. How many services you got right now?
Three.
Yeah, you might have to add another one. John can preach. Just give him one. Don't give him three. Yeah. You know what John will say? You'll say, man, we had about 700 people here in three services. And John will say, I had 900 in mine, Grant. What's the problem? He'll count nine people 100 times. You know what I mean? It worked for him. But anyway, I'm just kidding you, John. You know, I'm just pure humor. By the way, it's good to laugh in church. Y'all okay with laughing a little bit in church? I like humor, and one of the guys that spoke to me and got Jesus into my life was a guy named Grady Nutt. I don't know if y'all remember Grady Nutt. He died in a plane crash. That's why I stay out of small planes at all times. Several of my mentors died in plane crashes. Keith Green was a guy that spoke into my life, sang music way back in the early 80s and spoke Jesus into my life in a big way, and he died in a plane crash. But they live in heaven now. Amen? They live in heaven now. Now, I want to invite you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I think it would be a good idea to get saved tonight. What do you think?
Amen.
You say, well, what's going to happen to me if I don't get saved? You're going to go to hell.
Yep.
And it's really a stinky place. I mean, it's horrible. Let me tell you what hell's like. Have you ever wanted to quit doing something and you don't quit doing it and you know it's bad and you just keep doing it and it keeps hurting your life and you won't quit doing it? Welcome to hell for eternity. God did not create you for hell. He made you for heaven. Let me tell you how good God is. We messed up. Y'all understand that? Everybody messed up. Now, I need to go over this clearly because I guarantee you, how many of y'all have been to a funeral in Montgomery County? Okay. And if not, you will one day be yours. But watch this. How many of y'all have heard this funeral home? Pastor, I guarantee you heard this 1,000 times. They pat the casket like the dude's going to come up. Old John here, or James here, he wasn't, I'm telling you, he wasn't a churchgoer, wasn't a religious man, but he's a good man. Pulled my tractor out of the ditch. Surely God would let a man like that go to heaven. I want to be clear on that. There's nowhere in the scripture it says, tractor pulling leads to salvation. On the woman's end. Now, Sister Sue, she never gave her life to Jesus, but she took care of sick people, brought them apple pies. Sweet, nice, but she will be permanent residing in a bakery. Because we don't get to heaven. Hear me, listen. I'm being clear because I'm telling you, y'all been lied to. And I know you've been lied to because I grew up in Kentucky and I heard this baloney coming out of the pulpits that I grew up with. It's baloney. It's a lie. Preached in our churches for decades. That if you're good, you're going to go to heaven. It doesn't say that one place in the Bible. Not one place. It says we're all sinners. And it says every one of us have missed it. You know those Ten Commandments we put in our yards? By the way, if you're mowing on Saturday, you're breaking one of them. The Sabbath. See, if you're going to be Jewish, you got to practice Judaism. I bet you got up in the morning and ate some ham, too. If you went to high school ball game on Friday night and not Sabbat, you're out. What about Ten Commandments? You know anybody that's passed them? You know anybody that's kept them? Yeah, you do. You know one person who's kept them. He's the only one who's kept them. He is the only flesh being that ever kept those commandments. Moses' group, they were horrible. They got the first copy. Poor Pastor Moses. He's reading these suckers coming down the hill. He gets to the bottom of the hill. He looks out over his congregation. And not only are they breaking one, they're breaking all of them at the same time. Remember what he did? Walks back up the hill. God hands him the Xerox copy. It said the same thing as the first. So I want you to know, if you are going to get saved on your own goodness, this is the only way you could do that. You would have to be born and never break one commandment for your whole lifetime. And if you're a Kentucky fan, you've already broke the first one. Have no other gods before me. Watch a Kentucky fan. I got a bunch of them in my church. They'll drive from Bowling Green to Lexington, eat, go to the game. If the game is in overtime, they say they don't complain about that at all. They've never said, Coach Calipari, you went too long tonight. Eat again. They'll spend $150 on one basketball game and drive back and never flinch. You know why? They love that. A lot of them will come to church, be restless if it's an hour and 15 minutes, put $5 in the offering plate, and eat a $35 lunch and feel like they're A-OK with God. Is that too truthful? Is that too truthful? And we're worried about the Supreme Court? Maybe we all start in our house first. I'm not worried about Supreme Court. They're acting just like they act. That's the way immoral people think. And the reason they think that way is they're immoral. They don't care about God. They're not here to honor God's laws. That's not their law. That's ours. We don't live like they do. We welcome sinners. They put them in jail. We say grace unto you. They say punishment. We are God's people and we need to start living like what? God's people. If you don't know Jesus tonight, why don't you tell him, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Guess what he's going to say? Guess what he's going to say, bro? You're forgiven. That's exactly what he says. That's biblical. That's exactly what he says. There was this woman. She got caught in adultery. She looks up at Jesus, and he goes, where are they? She goes, they're gone. She looked at him, and she said, what do you say? He said, I say you're forgiven. And then he looks at her and said, go sin no more. And she was caught red-handed, videotaped, YouTube. What about you tonight? You've been caught red-handed. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you're not saved tonight, I encourage you to be saved. I can't make you. If I could make you, I would make you. Because it's better than being lost, but I can't make you. I can just tell you Jesus wants to save you. I've been really, really a blessed individual. I've seen a whole lot of people get saved in my lifetime. But there's a whole lot more than needs to be. I saw a lot of people get saved this morning. It's just the way my mind's all messed up. But guess what I saw? One of my buddies walk out of that door under conviction. I know he's lost. He walks right out that back door. That's the one I see. Because once these come to Jesus, guess what I know? They're okay. Jesus, I'm worried about that dude that walks out that back door, that girl that walked out that back door, and she doesn't realize that Jesus Christ will change her eternity forever. When are we going to get this, that Jesus is that powerful? Sometime we got to get that, amen? Man, I love you guys. Thanks for being a church that loves Jesus. But tonight, I want you to kind of just wake up in the name of Jesus. And let's be a church that loves the hell out of Montgomery County. Literally. I don't say that facetiously. I say that literally. Because you know what Jesus did to me? He loved the hell out of me. Because if you don't have Jesus in you, guess what you've got in you? Hell. You know I'm telling the truth. Without Jesus, what do you raise on Friday night? I never looked at my buddies and said, let's go raise some heaven. But old Grant, every Sunday morning, brother. Every Sunday morning. Our job ought to be to the church of Jesus Christ, that beautiful bride that was that without blemish, without wrinkle. I mean, she is so enamoring that she comes from heaven. We ought to tell people every Sunday, let's go raise heaven all week long. And when we see sinners down trees, you said, McDonald's, you want to hear what he can do? I'm telling you, there's that kind of ministry that'll be released. Now, see, some of you don't believe me because you're over-churched. And you've sat around in a dead church your whole lifetime. Watch this. Here's how sad it's going to be for some of you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. What are you going to tell God when you supposedly lived your faith in Him for 60 years and there isn't a single soul in heaven because of your existence? What are you going to tell Him? Well, Lord, I was busy educating my children. Lord, I was an upstanding member of the community. May have been. Just weren't real good for heaven. You imagine how heartbreaking that would be for people who are believers to stand at the gates of heaven and they see other people standing at the gates of heaven and people, I believe people will come running up to you. You ever shared your faith, brother? I don't think you have. You have somebody respond? Good. Hey, hallelujah. Don't go one. Say, thank God. What if that one dies before you? What's your name?
Sean.
Can you imagine this? Brother, was it a man or a woman? Woman. Here she comes. I mean, glorified body. Can you imagine that? I mean, come on, heaven, glorified body. Men, six pack, and you can eat all the fries you want. All the women in the house are fixing to get saved when I tell them this. You can eat all the chocolate you want and never change dress size. How cool is that? But can you imagine, Sean? Here comes this beautiful woman, and she says, Sean, thank you for telling me about Jesus. This place is beyond anything you can imagine. We got the greatest job in the world. We get to tell people to go to heaven. And the only way you're going to miss heaven is reject Jesus. I don't get it. I don't get it. God says, ask me to forgive you, and I'll say yes. And we say, well, I got buddies who tell me this. Pastor, I need to think about it.
I said, what do you need to think about? Jesus is going to send you to heaven, and you get to live in His glory forever, or you can stay a few more days in hell.
what? I said, you don't have a real good thinker. Let's be honest. Some of y'all need to do that. Some of you all who are saved and haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. Did you play football, big boy? You should have. If not, you missed your calling. I'm going to help you understand baptism. You know why baptism is important? When you played football, did you play for Montgomery County? No. Where'd you play, like, big time? Indianapolis. Did you play for the Colts? Not that big a boy, huh? All right, that's all right. High school, right? Warren Central? Do you know about them? Yeah. Whitefish, did you wear a jersey? Did everybody else have the same jersey on? That was on your baptism. It don't save you, but it marks you. It don't save you, but it seals you. It don't save you, but you know what? I ain't seen any real good followers that refuse to get baptized. You know why, Pastor Greg? You can read all those Beth Moore books you want to, but if you won't take the first step in obedience, everything else is just noise. Jesus was baptized. That tells me that's seriously important. Amen. Oh, by the way, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit too. That tells me that's seriously important, boys and girls. Jesus wasn't casual. He was eternal. So, church, I'm going to ask you to pray for Montgomery County. And listen, let's just go ahead and get crazy. Amen. Has the world gotten crazy enough that y'all want to respond? Me too. I hope nothing has to happen in the high school before we wake up. I really do. I pray that over our city all the time. Happened last week, Oregon. Y'all saw that, Oregon. Oregon's kind of like Kentucky out there. 100,000 people out in nowhere. Just good old folks. I mean, I've been out there in that area of Oregon. They barbecue. They talk right. Everything. Just like us. But guess what? Evil's still there. Evil's in Montgomery County. Evil is everywhere. And God's people need to run it out with the power of God's grace. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Y'all been more than wonderful. Y'all ready to have an altar call, Grant? If you'll bring your people forward and y'all come forward as pastors, I just want to pray. Let's have a time. Y'all pray in this church, don't you? Huh? Y'all didn't build this altar just so people could walk on it, do you? So if everybody needs to come and pray, what I love about churches like this, those chairs are not bolted down. Stack them up and we'll make the altar big enough. If you need to be saved right now, ask the Lord. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, save me. Ask Him. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, what? Save me. Maybe tonight you need to get obedient to baptism. You need to come down here and you need to grab Pastor's hand and say, Pastor, I have not been baptized. I'm talking about as a conscious individual. I'm not talking about a baby baptism. Watch this. Baby baptism's cool. Guess what? Your parents wanted you to meet Jesus. I'd be baptized again to let them know you have. You made that decision. You didn't choose food when you were a baby either, did you? When's the last time you ever ordered peas that looked like baby food? Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, whoever needs to be saved, draw them right now. Let them be obedient. I pray against the devil. I pray against his ways. I pray against his deception. It has no authority at this altar. Lord, I pray that we will rush this altar tonight. We will pray for Montgomery County. Lord, we pray by the time you bring it all together and that trumpet that we sang about tonight blows, we pray that when we stand on the hills of Montgomery County, everybody will lift their arms up to be taken up to heaven. Every single life in Montgomery County will be saved. Lord, we pray that boldly because we know that you are a God that makes impossible things possible. So, Lord, we welcome your Spirit into this altar. We welcome salvation. We welcome renewed hearts. We welcome healing. We welcome confession, repentance. And, Lord, we pray that we just have a moment with you in the name of Jesus. Church, I got the greatest news. Jesus wants to save anybody that needs to be saved. And if he's talking to you right now, just gently come up here and Pastor Grant will talk to you. If you hadn't been baptized, let's get that taken care of. Amen? You're dangling if you hadn't got that done. Let's get that taken care of. Young people, I love y'all. I'm for your generation. I want you to hear something. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. We don't have long. Now I'm going to tell you that.
That's all I'm going to tell you about it. We don't have long. You don't need to worry about when. Some of you need to do something. If you haven't done anything with your faith since you've been saved, I would come down here and say, God, I apologize for my unfaithfulness, and it's time for me to be faithful. Show me what you need me to do. He'll show you. Amen. All right, altar's open. Y'all come. Come on, let's come on down here and pray, celebrate, worship. You don't have to wait for them to start playing. Come on. Come on, stand up and come on.